Hello, you're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. Because it's more fun to believe.
Hello.
Got
hey,
it.
Everybody. We got it. We got Karen Rontowski joining the program. Thanks for listening to another experience of Me and Paranormal You. You've got a great little, if you don't know Karen already, I mean, what is wrong with you? I'm over at KarenRontowski.com right now. The website's looking great. You've got a great little pop-up window that shows up now.
Well, yes, I just started my Patreon this month. So I had that, I forget what that's called. I think it's called a light box. So I had that put up. I'm doing a tarot and psychic development Patreon, and I'm super excited and scared.
Because you're not doing enough things already.
I know. That's it. But I really thought if I can get the Patreon going, I can cut the amount of readings in half and then life is better. Oh, and then Siri agrees. And then it's all time for men, young men everywhere.
Well, Karen, we just got back. It's just been over a week now. Maybe a little over a week and a half since we returned from the trip to Post Town, Ohio, that place. And it was a ton of fun. It was very exciting. I mean, there was a lot going on. I mean, it was really jam packed. I mean, ideally we could have had, you know, 4 or 5 days and had a little more time for everything else, but you know, who knows? I'm sure we'll have to go back there in the future. I mean, depending on how you're feeling about that idea you had as well, we could talk about that later maybe, but I don't want to let cats out of bags here.
I know, get people excited, but well, maybe I will have to, but I have to say it this way. First of all, thank you so much. That experience was amazing. And I, you know, you and I have been investigating for years, probably 20, it might be 30 years. And that was just shockingly haunted, amazing, everything. And you're right, because I literally went down, I go back and forth from, I'm never going there again to, wow, that would be a great place to have a whole weekend. You know what I mean? Like you go.
Yeah, it is. Well, I am excited because I will be going back. I have a date tentatively set to go back just to pop in real quick when I'm in my hometown for the holidays. So I think I'll be getting, and then maybe I might be doing something with the house team, POV Paranormal. They might take me on one of their investigations that they do. I don't know if I'm going to jump in on just a tour, or we're going to do something, you know, just us, or you know, we still got to figure out all that stuff out. But I'm definitely going to be going back. I mean, the place really kind of gets a hold of you a little bit, and we talked a little bit about this with Daryl, who, you know, is the caretaker of the place. He lives there with his wife, but you know, I don't want to, you know, let any spoilers out, but there was a very interesting chat we had for the documentary with him and some of the things he was saying about that place, but that it actually kind of can really get its grip on you, and doesn't necessarily mean in a dark or negative way, but then again, you know, perspectives might be skewed when, you know, it's hard to see the monster when you're standing too close to its belly, maybe, or you know what I mean? Although I don't believe that it's like a real monster situation happening there. That's just my instinct, but that's not to say that there isn't a wide array of things that are passing through there or interacting. And that they're all just like love, light, and benevolence. Because I don't think that's very reasonable to assume it either, right?
Right. I do feel like when you cover the stuff with Daryl, people who, by the way, I'm so sad I didn't get to interview him because he's just a character and he's fantastic. And he has an amazing story. But I do think there are several dark things there. Very dark. And kind of powerful that amongst the other stuff. And there's so much there that it's almost hard to tell. But, you know, last night I was thinking about this, and you know the experience I had from there that sort of shocked me. that's on my podcast. But this is what's very interesting about that place. Those things own that. They own that place. And they are not going to leave. They're not following people home. Believe me, I know who would have popped up, where they would have popped up if they were going to. But also, they seem to like Daryl, and they want everything like that. And I was thinking how interesting it is that beings that I would call of another dimension want that 3D location. Like, I find that very, that's their home. That's their spot. They're grounded there. I mean, do you feel like that?
Well, that's interesting to think that they want, I mean, I don't want to think of it as a vacation spot, but almost like people have their, you know, their house on the lake. Where they go have fun. Because I mean, I think we might be, you know, I might be ascribing too many humanistic characteristics to entities that are like I believe the same thing of a different dimension, whether they spend time here or not. I don't think everything that's hanging out in there spend time as a human being. I think there are all kinds of entities happening in passing through or occupying that location. And part of it might do with, or have something to do with the fact that we tried to contact entities that were not of human or previous human form anyway. So when we were doing some ET contact exercises and investigation techniques, but I do like the idea that, you know, there is something that always has to be somewhere, somehow, sometime, right? So why not there? And especially if there is some kind of energy vortex and you have the Little Miami River right there, there have been Sasquatch sightings very close by. There have been UFO sightings just like in that very field behind the school, or unexplainable lights lighting up the entire, you know, area in the middle of the night for no reason. And it's, you know, if people go and Google it in Google Map, Google Earth, or whatever, Posttown, Ohio, they'll be able to see what we're talking about. It is in the middle of the nowhere, but that nowhere also is kind of close to a, you know, a decent sized city of Middletown, Ohio, which is the backdrop of Hillbilly Elegy, that movie. If anybody has seen that movie by Ron Howard, based on the book of the same name by J.D. Vance, it's very popular. It became a very popular book and movie because of the 2016 election. But
Hillbillyology?
Elegy, like E-L-E-G-Y. Yeah, it has Meryl Streep and Amy Adams star in the movie. Amy's Meryl Streep's daughter. Anyway, it kind of tries to paint. The movie was met and book, or I think, are met with mixed reviews depending on someone's political stance. But basically, it's kind of showing like the perspective of, you know, like the really poor, like, you know, the not well off conservative.
I think was that not Meryl Streep, but it was Glenn Close?
Glenn Close, you're right.
Oh, okay. I remember the ads. Yeah, you know what's funny? This is an offshoot, but I get sad with movies like that when they show poor people as never happy. Like, there was a movie on HBO, no one's happy. And I think sometimes people are happy, you know? Give me one character, the neighbor everyone hates because they're always going, good morning, you know?
Yeah, no, there's some moments where you see them having fun and being happy.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, it's not just all like, woe is me, the poor white person, this is how tough our life is. It's not necessarily, it's not like that necessarily. But anyway, for me, it's the movie. I think one of the reasons I enjoyed that movie is because I'm familiar with the area. So it's like, you know, watching a movie shot in your hometown, essentially, is why you know it resonated with me, because I'm like, oh yeah, this is where I grew up. But watching like a fake world that's based on real events where you grew up, there's an interesting dynamic there. But the point of that whole thing was just to say, you're out in an area where, or at least we were, and Post Town is located in a spot that is, you know, you can find a Target or a Burger King if you go driving for a little bit. It's not that far away. But at the same time, when you're there, you do feel like you're in the room. Yeah, frozen in time, and you're in a very remote area. And I mean, especially because the whole idea that Post Town is an unincorporated, that always, like, it always confused me a little bit when something is unincorporated, because I never thought of towns as being corporations, kind of, or whatever. I always just, you know, correlated those two words. But just unincorporated just means it's not like a, I don't know, it's not a, it doesn't, it's not big enough to be, or didn't want to be like an official city or something. I don't even really know what it all means. It's like everybody has to go to the same spot to get their mail or that kind of, it's like, yeah. I don't know. It kind of has that vibe of a small town place. And then when you get in that school, you know, crazy stuff just starts happening.
If people go to the website and they only have like two pieces of evidence on the website, and one of them is a somebody saying something and a little girl laughing, and someone goes, there's children here, and they go, no, that's the spirits. If I had heard that before being there, I would have almost wondered if it was fake, because it was so clear. It was almost like an audio trick, because that's usually when people fake stuff, they make it so perfect that you're like, nothing is that perfect. But after being there, I would believe anything they put on that website. It had everything going on, everything. It was like, I do feel comforted in knowing that those things stay there. And a couple of people had said that, and Courage had said that. He said, no, those things want to stay there. That's very comforting, because I don't think the Skinwalker Ranch would be more active than that. Have you ever been to the Skinwalker?
No, I've never been to Skinwalker. I know it's not easy to get on that property. I just started watching, there's a series on the History Channel that I didn't realize this whole time that you could just watch on Hulu for free with commercials. Secrets of the Skinwalker Ranch. It's under new ownership as of the last few years. And the guy, some rich guy from Utah, like a real estate mogul, has spent a ton of money. And I've only watched to do research. Yeah, I've only done I've only gotten through the first half of the first episode. There was already like a sports car on the highway and like a helicopter showing up. And I was like, he's like making this like an action movie. This is like ridiculous, but also I'm also here for it. But we didn't have any of that when we were filming in Post Town. We had our handheld camcorders, and we had we had two people on the crew filming us, not even the whole time. But so there won't be any like Lamborghinis or helicopters. Well, I'm curious because everybody has their own opinions about like if a place is haunted or how haunted, or I don't really think it matters how haunted a location is. Uh-huh. I think because at that point, I think people are, I don't know, I think they're focusing on the wrong thing. And I think we're missing the point of, oh no, the place is haunted, the place has activity. Now we're arguing over the level of activity. I mean, let's get back to the focus of there's something happening here. And like you said, there's all kinds of things happening there. And I'm sure people have gone there on an investigation and, you know, had very, I don't know, uneventful times. I mean, Daryl says, when you leave, you believe. That's his like saying, catchphrase about the place. But I'm curious. I mean, you sent me a bunch of stuff yesterday. Oh, I'm also curious about this new camera. Let's talk about this new gadget you have. Because I'd be interested to see some of those photos at some point. But tell everybody about this new camera that you got right beforehand.
It's actually an old camera, but it's new to me. And Sony used to make the night shot cameras, and they used to have the best for taking, you know, with IR and stuff like that. They're the only ones that still do photo. Like everybody does video. A lot of cameras do video, but these are the only ones that do still shots, which is just my favorite. I don't know why. It's ridiculous because you can get still shots off of video, but I still like to just be clicking away with that camera to see what I can catch. So that was the Sony DSC-717. It was as high as their cameras went with night shot. And so that was the one I was clicking away. In fact, it was kind of a nightmare as for finding the old Sony chips that go with it and stuff like that, because I have two of them now. I had the smaller version. This was the bigger version, and it might only have like four. It's not a lot of pixels at all, because it's still, I would say that's still a 20-year-old camera. But they're on eBay for about $100-$150, and you kind of have to piece them together. This guy has the plug, this guy has the cards, this guy has the battery, but it is just, I love that still shot. I love that more than anything. That's my favorite kind of evidence. I'm the last one that loves that.
Well, it is interesting. And I mean, I love photos, and I guess you could argue that drawing started it all, but you know, like you're recreating a likeness of something by hand, and then photos came along, and then movies came along, and then sound with movies. But there, you can find some of the most convincing evidence I've ever seen are just photos of something.
Mm-hmm. Our buddy, and photos, yeah. you can debunk them and pull them apart a little faster, so you know where you stand. But also, when you have three photos in a row, 1, 2, 3, and the middle one, that's what I always tell people about photography. You want to take the same spot, don't move. That was the only thing that was tough in Post Town, is so many people were moving. So the light was moving. You want to get that one, or shadows were moving. You want to just get that 1, 2, 3. That's how you want to take it. And I've spent many times taking apart those small old digital cameras, because if you, there's a little piece in there. If you can get the IR filter off of those, you can turn like a little tiny cyber shot or something like that into a night shot photo camera. I have not done that successfully. I have ended up with a desk full of pieces that I couldn't remember how to put back together. And here's the other thing you don't know. You can get a shock from those cameras. And I have been shocked many times. So I finally was like, how many times are you going to buy these cameras and break them? Just get the one you want.
Yeah. Or I guess they could even just take it to a local camera shop. They might be able to do it for you.
They wouldn't do it for me, or they said this could be ours. But actually, I did have a friend who was like, take a picture every time you take it apart and put each piece in a styrofoam. And this information came late when I got lazy, but I was very enthusiastic about it in the beginning. They do have some on some of these ghost hunting sites. I've never seen them as good as the Sony. Because there's a lot of junk out there when it comes to ghost hunting equipment. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, $50-$75 isn't really working.
Yeah. It's cash grabs. And you know, it's like, you know, you might as well go to the dollar store to buy your toothbrush, that kind of thing. It is interesting too, cause we played around with a lot of different devices. Eric from Epic Paranormal, he brought some really fun toys. It's interesting too, because I kind of bought these handheld walkie-talkies kind of last minute. I was on the road somewhere. I was like, I should get walkie-talkies because the school is huge. Uh-huh. And then we had some weird stuff happening with the walkie-talkies, even when we were outside and then inside. You know, I just love, I don't know why, but I just can't. I'm obsessed with like the laser pointer now because it like double, it's such a bright laser. The ones I bought, yeah. I think they're illegal actually, but they double as a flashlight of sorts too, but with like a green light. But it is weird because like it kind of made me start thinking about all different kinds of techniques while we were there. I mean, came in with an idea of some of the things we wanted to do. Like we didn't even get to like some of the, we didn't even do cards or anything else because we were just kind of so wrapped up in the moment of kind of just going with the flow, which I think is important when it comes to doing an investigation.
It is. And you had that hard part of setting up interviews and doing that, which is kind of, that's a lot of hats to wear. You know, I wanted to, sometimes I always think too, if a first of all, that machine that Eric made was amazing. I really don't. You're about to raise your hand. Okay, Zoom just told me I'm about to raise my hand.
Oh, you clicked a button.
I didn't touch anything.
Like in the chat? Like, let me see what's going on here.
I didn't maybe, you know what? I swear to God, I know this is crazy, but I think I think they hear from Post Town and they show up.
Oh yeah, I mean, like there's no real difference, like quantum entanglement. There's like really no separation between.
And I'm jumping topics. I'm sorry, but you know, I had a very strange experience, and we brought the boss, my dog, in, and I had a very, very, maybe you want to save it for the documentary. I won't say anything, but I had a really interesting and creepy experience, like totally. And I had a cleansing since then. I had a friend that did a cleansing, and she said, none of these things are dangerous, but she said, and she didn't know anything about it, about what happened. She said, there's all these little things on you. And it's like, they've all invited their friends. And she said, they're little tricksters, little coyotes. And she said, they're singing yes is no, and no is yes. And like, they play with words. Right. And I know that's an interpretation, but that's exactly what they did. They were playing with our voices. They were playing with your voice. They were playing with some, they were like little liars that were having a blast. I just got the chills because I know they're probably here. We did that. Do it again.
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, it is. I wasn't there. I still haven't been able to go back and listen to, or watch the footage yet, or comb through it. But it will be interesting to hear. At one point, what Karen is referencing is Alex Mistretta and I went outside. I think I was drawn to the outside for some reason. And, you know, you just have to follow your intuition at that point, because it happened earlier in the first day when my intuition drew us to a room. And then Brian from POV got a flashlight to do something like turn on cue for us. It was crazy. And so it's funny because, like, I tell that story and then like someone like Daryl's like, well, if you think that's crazy, you haven't seen nothing in Post Town. And I'm just like, hey man, can we just chill out here for a second? This is like, can we just appreciate the moment? I know you live here and this shit happens all the time, but this was really cool. And like, apparently we were communicating through the walkie talkies, and apparently through the gateway device, which Eric builds and creates himself, which I still don't fully understand.
No, but it's the most coherent conversations with spirit I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's really, really, really awesome stuff. And apparently my voice was coming through. So when it comes in, like, I was talking with Jim Perry, who was also there, host of UFMAT. And we were talking about, it's funny because in the interview, I had a sit-down interview with him, the trickster came up. And, you know, because I do love the idea that all this phenomena falls into that liminality, right? And you know, and maybe I'm too gung-ho about it all being interconnected, but I do feel like, you know, there are these little bridges between all of these different phenomena, and it's all the same kind of pond, right? So like, if someone can imagine a circular pond, and then at each corner of the circle there are bridges, you know, covering, you are meeting in the middle, or in kind of going out like an X formation. But the trickster came up a ton. And then after we were there, I don't have like Facebook on my phone or any of that stuff. And I think we were talking about this when we chatted on the phone, but a friend of mine who's a medium and also a comedian, she had been there randomly like a year before, I don't know when it was, doing a ghost hunt. And said she got some real strange information or something from that stuffed coyote that was there, that there's like a real trickster energy in it, which makes sense. I mean, it's pretty literal. It's pretty on the nose to have the coyote have the trickster energy inside of it. But it did get everybody. I mean, that stuffed coyote was terrifying to every single person who didn't expect to see it. And Daryl loves that. So Daryl himself is kind of the trickster running the joint, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great way to say that. Yeah. And I do like that as much as I got my little entanglement was so creepy and terrifying, I do like that there's a sense of humor on that side. You know what I mean? Like they are laughing.
Yeah. And I think that's why we get along so well when it comes to like doing this stuff is because, you know, it's, I think some people mistake paranormal investigations for always being so, like, no pun intended, but deadly serious, you know.
Uh-huh.
And when in fact, you know, it's a lot of fun to go out in the field and, you know, every once in a while you get scared, but it's, you know, but there is a lot of fun to be had out there, and different people take different approaches. You know, different people like start with an actual prayer to Jesus or whatever, or they end it that way. And, you know, we like to start with like intentions and things like that. So, I mean, it's all kind of the same thing, just of different flavors, I suppose.
Well, you were fearless. That's a really interesting thing because I know I always think Alex is fearless. Alex was talking to me about the tunnels in LA and he was telling me how you get down. And I was like, what if that door locks behind you? And he's like, that's a problem for that moment. And I was like,
that's crazy.
That's Alex, right? But you were fearless in there. And I had all my protection up. And there were many times when I really felt, you know, everybody has a different energy. And because I read tarot, sometimes I think certain beings can find me more interesting than others. You know what I mean? Because that's my energy is already sort of open to that. And I've had trouble with attachments before. So I was on high alert and I remember watching and you were just like, you can touch me and I'm giving you an invitation. And I was like, holy shit, Ryan's not holding back.
Well, to be clear, that the invitation you're talking, I forgot about that. The invitation, because I remember after I said it, I think you even said something out loud, like, to be clear, I am not extending the invitation.
To be clear, that was Ryan.
Yeah, to be clear, that was Ryan. yeah, maybe maybe it's like the monkey paw thing, where I wasn't clear enough about what the invitation was, because I believe I'm trying to remember back to that moment where the invitation was, I invite you to, like, you know, lead me outside again, like to show yourself to me, as opposed to like, let's go on a journey together, take me to space, like, because I'm not. One of the things, I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but one of the things in the paranormal that scares me the most, and it's a close, I don't know which one's scarier, whether it's like creepy child ghost, like malevolent child ghost, mm-hmm. or the idea of being abducted. So abduction to me is, because you're completely powerless in that situation. I think it stems from like having zero power whatsoever or control. And so abduction to me is probably top of the list when it comes to, okay, what's the scariest thing that could happen to you? You could be transported off Earth, whether it's your physical body or energetic body or whatever it is, your essence is transported away from where you survive in a physical realm. So now what do you do? You're gonna escape from a spaceship into the frigid, freezing, you know, abyss, and then be dead in like a few seconds? Or, you know, there's nothing you can do, essentially, right?
Right. Yeah.
So,
And I remember when you said that, because here's the thing. It'll be fantastic to see the footage, but once everybody kind of left, especially the people filming it, we were with that gateway machine, with Eric's gateway machine, after hours up in the classrooms. That was when it was almost like, I do think these things know they're not technically supposed to be taped. That was always Christopher Balzano, always had a great story about how they were taping a house in Boston and they were doing a live thing and everything was hooked up and there were all these voices, these disembodied voices and EVPs and stuff. And then one came in and said, shh, they're taping you. And the whole thing went silent. So I feel like, and I don't know if that's just human spirits or if it's everything, but I feel like they're not supposed to be doing that. I've had that happen before. They're not supposed to be letting us tape, which is why, you know, that late night when he unraveled that gateway machine, and I was shocked because that was the first I had heard it. And it was just, or I had heard it in the creepy room downstairs, but it was just, those are real phrases and words coming out and they're really answering the questions. And that's when I think the lid came off. And I remember, cause you were like, well, you have an invitation, or I think it was then, or it was when we did the contact thing, which was amazing, which was really interesting. I had never done that.
We did like a variation of the CE5 up in the doll room.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's been, I'm not going to sit here and say it's never been done before. Cause I honestly, I have no clue, but I did think it was a fun, it was really intriguing to me, for specifically for the reason of just even mentioning it, wanting to do CE5 weeks before when I was just visiting the location, and then really loud bangs happening in the school when I was talking about CE5. Ernie Russell from POV Paranormal was there with Daryl, myself, and this guy Donald, who's kind of like, you know, helps out around the school. We're like, oh, we have to do CE5 in the school now. And we walked up to the room where we heard the noise, which was directly above us. And we're like, this is where we have to do CE5. We did not do CE5 in that room, by the way, because that was the room where Alex at one point went into the closet. And there was just, I felt very aggravated and agitated when I was in that room, at least on that first night. And I was like, I don't want to do CE5 in here.
Yeah.
So we did it somewhere else. But strangely enough, all the really intense gateway stuff through that device, through Eric's device, happened in that same room. Where the loud bangs, I'm starting to get real chilled up now thinking about it. All of the really, and I think it was interesting. What's so funny about the trickster element about that location too is this. There were many times throughout the two nights in the investigations where we all decided to leave and go to a different spot in the school. And one person would say, no, hey, let's not do that. Let's just try one more thing in here. And that happened multiple times. And when that happened, and we decided to stay because someone different in the group was like, no, something really intense would happen, which was interesting. And then especially, not to give too much away, and people are going to be like, well, is this whole thing going to be a teaser? But it's like the idea of communicating through the music because of, you know, I've just been fascinated by that whole idea of mathematics is the language of science. And if everything in the universe can be broken down to mathematics, music is mathematics at its core. Music is the most pure way to communicate in the universe, many scientists would say. And then boom, things really kicked off at that point.
That's very interesting because yesterday I interviewed someone for my podcast and I'm obsessed with what archangels really look like. And she said they actually look like sacred geometry. They actually look like sort of mechanical things that we can't understand about sacred geometry, which I agree with that. Everything's a formula or somehow can be broken down. We don't have the capacity or the bandwidth to do that right now, but I totally agree with that. You know, something else that was interesting about there are, like, I think if you and I went back there, or when you go back there, there might be a very fast EVP that's like, hi, Ryan. Like, I think the consciousness in that place is so in tune, and I think it definitely knew the team that goes in there all the time, and very different things were happening to them than were happening to us. And I almost feel like their teams were protected. Those two ladies that went in there, the mediums, I felt like something protected them in there. But I do remember when you started that and you guys were bringing in love and light, I immediately knew there was something behind me that was like, we don't want that in there. And I said it, and everyone else was like, I'm crying from happiness. And I'm like, behind me, not so happy. But
yeah, that was Tracy and Jamie from POV. Yeah. Were both crying when we did the meditation to start the CE5 in the room, in the doll room.
And I felt like, and then after everybody left, Tim said, I felt like something was choking me. And I was like, you had the same message I did, which I think the two mediums, like they had this, you had that great experience too. Like some people felt the love and light, and I felt the warning, and Tim felt the warning.
Well, I think that's a great example of what we're talking about, the wide array of phenomena that is probably everywhere, let alone post down. Mm-hmm. That there is, especially when you had, and we had a lot of people that first night, you know, teetering on like too many people maybe to be in the same group necessarily. But I think with the CE5 thing, it was more than fine. Like, because I think the more energy, the better. And there's even like old adages in prayer that it's stronger. Like a prayer is louder and more powerful when it's done with a congregation all together, focusing all their energy on the same thing. But I think it's a great example of the different types of energy and the different types of entities, or maybe even the different facets of a same. Do you think we get too hung up on either this thing is good or this thing is bad, as opposed to, hey, maybe there's an entity that is, you know, it's multifaceted, much like we are. Like we have our good days, we have our bad. Like yesterday, I stepped in dog poop outside where it should not have been. And I was like, I was just like outside by myself with my headphones on going, motherfucker, like who's the asshole? Who, you know? And like, if someone was just walking by and saw that, they'd be like, who's this fucking asshole, right?
I know that.
Just cussing, you know? And then, so it's like, we're all multifaceted. Do you think that sometimes we're engaging with different facets of the same entity when it comes to that?
You know what? We could be. Obviously, anything is possible, but I always do this. You know that my first introduction to the paranormal was Tommy, my demonologist friend. You know Tommy. And Tommy always goes from a place of caution. And I've been with Tommy on many things, and it's Tommy's famous last words. You're in a group and someone goes, let's do that. And all you hear is Tommy go, I wouldn't do that. And then the person does it anyways. And that was me. Do you want to do a Ferris wheel? I wouldn't do that. Oh, really? What are you so worried about? So I am very, very cautious. But, you know, there's a different thing about that I wonder, which is you and I, as comedians, were usually very familiar with our shadow side. That's what a comedian, you're not all love and light if you're a comedian. You know that you can be an asshole. You know there's a moment where you're triggered. You know, comedians are usually pretty good at going, it made me jealous. It made me, you know, all the things we're not supposed to say that make us human. And I know people that do exorcisms and things, they tend to not do well. You can only do that for a certain amount of time, because to do that, you're not only dealing with angels, but usually they have a demon bound to them. They may not know it or not, but in other words, this span of light and dark, it's never just one. I did on one of my podcasts, my friend Diet channeled a demon, and it was one of the most interesting podcasts I've ever done. And he was talking about that he wasn't about evil or scaring people. He was like, where there's too much light, we go in. We're supposed to be balanced. If there's too much light, the darkness comes in. That's our job, to keep the yin and yang. And because one of the questions I asked was, why was Mother Teresa? She became possessed in the end of her life. And this thing said, she thought she was all love and light. She thought she was all good. And we were like, no, you're not. And so that was the story with that. And I wonder if, I'm starting to wonder how much of a connection I have to the dark side. I'm not doing any exorcisms and I'm not interested in it at all. But I think the darker thing in that room knew it could talk to me. Not bragging. There it is. You're about to raise your hand. And then it said, not now. I just said that and it came up again. You're about to raise your hand.
That's interesting. Now. I mean, I'm switching between speaker and gallery view just for the video. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not.
No, I am putting my hand up, but I've been putting my hand up a lot. Does it think I'm raising my hand?
Yeah, I don't understand. There is a thing on Zoom that lets you like raise your hand if you're in like a group chat, meaning you want to say something. But maybe it's raising, maybe whatever is raising its hand. because it's happened twice now. I've never seen that. It's not happening on my end.
No, and it keeps telling me not now. Like I'm like, don't say that now.
I was going to say about that is, I think what you mentioned earlier has a lot to do with it. The fact that you're constantly, you know, making this connection between human and spirit on a daily, every day when you're doing your readings. And so your instrument is, you know, you're like first chair in the orchestra. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what else is funny is things are coming through the phone now in my readings that never did before. Like if somebody has something, some lady had something in her house and I was like, I think your husband has an attachment. And as I said, attachment, something screamed as loud and through, like really aggressive. And I was like, would you have a dog? What just happened? And she was like, I think there's something in my house. And I was like, now it's in my house. So yeah, it's an interesting, and also it could be because I'm from the point of caution that might sort of send it out. Oh, someone's already worried about us, you know? So.
Oh, kind of like the energy attracting it. By focusing on it, by trying not to focus on it, as they say.
Yeah. Like it sends out, it may, instead of caution, I may be sending out a vibration that feels like fear, which makes them like, well, if she's afraid, let's hit her. But you are fearless. Fearless. Touch
well,
me.
Well, well, there's, you know, it's that, you know, I'm not the one who, you know, came up with this, you know, technique, you know, it was a long time ago. I was on an investigation and someone who's been doing investigations for a long time, they kind of really gave some ground rules for what they would do at the beginning of the investigation. I was like, this is really, I like the way that they're doing this. So I was like, you know what? I like that. I'm going to do that every once in a while and see if I can get anything. But, you know, to be clear, I didn't get any physical touch, or have any sensations or felt like I was close to that, you know, for the whole weekend we were there. There was an interesting thing, like during the stand-up show on Saturday night, after the investigations were all done Thursday and Friday, Daryl did say, something was happening during the show. Or he said he heard loud footsteps coming from like an adult upstairs. So he's like, I got to go up there and tell that person to get out of there because it's going to mess up the sound. And he went to the camera looking in the hallway where he heard the footsteps and there was nobody there. He's like,
That is some of the most powerful energy, putting all that laughter in that room. And I bet you woke up everything. Did you guys investigate after that?
No, I'm having some weird audio over here on this end all of a sudden. This whole thing, just even talking about this place is making everything go haywire.
I'm having weird video. It looks like I'm 55.
We didn't, after the show, we were so, like, we had to break everything down.
Exhausted.
We were exhausted. I mean, we were there until, we ended up only doing one show, thank God. Because we were still there till, I don't know, after 2:30 in the morning, just cleaning up and get everything back. You know, because they really transformed that place for the stand-up special. And Daryl was very concerned that everything would not be put back because they moved a bunch of desks downstairs into that room from different classrooms, dolls, all kinds of stuff. So, but by the time we left, you couldn't even tell we were there. So, cause he complained, he said, there's been other, he's like, other shows from Hollywood have been out here whether it's like, I don't know what some of the ghost shows. And he's like, they just left the place. They left the place in ruins. Like they didn't care about cleaning up after themselves when they left.
A lot of them do that. Yeah, they leave. In fact, the ones that's why a lot of them, the ones that used to go to particular one that used to go to homes, just gaffer's tape and then just rip it off the wall and leave it up, you know, like just. So I don't know, gives us all in Hollywood a bad rep.
Yeah. And not to say that it's like the crew's fault, because the crew is being told you have to be out of here in an hour.
And don't worry about it. Pull it off. Yeah. And go.
Yeah. And you know, you can't be here past an hour or whatever, for whatever reason, you know, cause they have to be back at work in 7 hours on the next thing or 6 hours. But yeah, it is like in my mind, this fantasy, like, oh, we could have investigated afterward because of all the, like you said, I think we really stirred up like a lot of stuff. And I'll be interested to listen to the audio to see if anything's on the audio. I have a backup drive of the footage, of all the footage shot that night, but I haven't wanted to plug it into my computer just in case I corrupt the hard drive, because it's a backup. It's like the main backup of all the footage. So I don't want to ruin the backup by plugging it in, trying to, you know, take a look at it all. I bought brand new hard drives for this thing. One of them already shit the bed, like after the first day. Alex Mangan, who was shooting the paranormal side, he came back with the hard drives the next day, and he's like, "Yeah, your backup already shit the bed." And I was like, "I paid $100 for that thing like 3 days ago. I should have got it made me like, oh, I never buy the insurance on that stuff." But like, it seemed like a lot of stuff was malfunctioning. Uh-huh. But like, you had an interesting idea too. We were talking about retroactively giving evidence and asking a location or asking something to retroactively provide you something. Can we talk about that for a minute? And we'll close with this little segment.
Am I okay to tell the whole story? You want me to leave it as a what happened? Or want me to leave it as a teaser?
No, you can tell it.
Okay. So we had... I had my little dog with me, Courage, and my best friend is an animal communicator, and I have brought Courage with me to haunted locations and called the animal communicator, and she would say, he sees a dark spirit here, this is there, don't go in that room. In fact, it's funny because the guy that bought the Skinwalker Ranch, his last name is Bigelow. It's a different, his last name is...
Well, Bigelow did own it, but he's the one who sold it to this new guy.
Oh, okay. There's a very haunted hotel in Utah. And I was just talking to Sonia, that's the animal communicator, my best friend, on the phone. And she said, Courage popped in and he said, there's a hotel. And she described it perfectly. And he said, you are not to go in that hotel. And it was, I was like, okay. But it was very interesting because that hotel has all these cute little stories around. I know. Like when you're listening to your dog for location, you're all in once you get there. And it was funny because that hotel had all these cute stories, woman died of a broken heart and blah, 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 blah. And then I found out the real stories and it was totally different. It was like, they blocked off the 11th floor and no one was allowed to go there. And they don't know. It was like from that movie, John Cusack was in room 409, where there's a hotel in Chicago where they have painted the wall. There is no more a door. They cemented it off because the activity was so bad in there. And they had done that to the 11th floor in this place. But I'm way off. I don't know. So anyways, we were bringing Courage through. And first we came in, I think, two rooms. So you were filming and Sonia was on the phone and she was saying, Courage is saying there's this one room and there's a cement wall, but it's not a cement wall and it's not done. But basically he nailed everything in that place. Pretty good. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, he was right on. He said it's a wall that's not yet a wall or something. And then
down there, yes, and
it's half a wall down in the basement, and it's just like, yeah.
Well, it was interesting too, because the only thing that Eric said that wasn't right was he said there's a room that has metal chairs, metal tables, and Eric said, I'm not sure what that is. And then we went down and he said, these are all tables and chairs from McDonald's, so they were all metal, you know. So that I thought was interesting. But so we did that in the afternoon, and Courage was kind of amazing, and Sonia was amazing. And then I brought Courage home, and then, you know, he stayed in the hotel, and we did all the investigation. And that night was when I was, I have on my phone audio tapes when we were using the Gateway thing with Eric, which blew my mind. And so this is 7 or 8 hours later, not even, Courage isn't even there. And so on the way home, I couldn't stop listening to these. There were about 20 that were on my phone, listening. And I text Sonia and I said, I can't believe how amazing this machine is. Do you want to hear it? And she said, yeah. So I picked the smallest file. I just the smallest one because I thought it would text faster. So I texted it to her. And then a few minutes later, she texts me back and she says, I can't stop shaking. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, the first voice on that says Gammy. It's the voice of my, her grandchild, Connor. She said, it's his voice saying Gammy, which is what he calls me. And then it says Sonia. And then of course, Eric has that thing set up to reverb. So it almost is like a nightmare when you hear something you don't want to hear. It goes, Gammy, Sonia. And then I was like, what? And then I went back and listened, and she was right. I'm getting the creeps again. But that's how the odds that was taped, and the random piece of evidence I sent to Sonia had that in the beginning of it is, I can't even, the odds of that happening, there are no coincidences. I believe I had her burning dragon's blood in her house. I was every morning, hey, did anyone have a nightmare? Is everybody okay? Like really worried, but making sure nothing went there. I think that piece of evidence, those tricksters added that right before I sent it to her, or manipulated it right before I sent it to her.
Yeah. And for me, this plays into like such a fun concept too, of the idea that we understand that time is not linear, is, you know, something that really comes into play here for, you know, examining evidence. And like, well, how could they do that from the future and then put it back into the past? It's like, well, if we're playing with that idea, then it doesn't really matter when something happens, does it?
And they do it the other way. A lot of times you ghost hunters know you can get a picture, you can get an EVP, and you hear it once, and you almost want to record it right away because you can, everybody in the group can hear it. And then the next day you go home and it's gone. They will pull it off. James von Prague talks about that in pictures. Somebody, you'll see the spirit in the picture to go, what is that? And then it disappears off. Because again, I don't know why, but I feel like they're not supposed to be giving us the evidence. Like that's why it's so hard to get evidence. So when you run into a place like Post Town that was just ready to play, that's the way I would, they were ready to play.
Yeah, they really were. And it was, you know, really cool that they did that for us. And I think we're all pretty grateful for that. So, you know, and as soon as I have 2 months of nothing to do, I'm going to be able to go through all that footage. But yeah. So I think I'm tentatively calling this what the documentary part of it, I think we're tentatively going to call it The Bridge.
I did, this is one thing I forgot to tell you is going in, I did have a friend of mine from Ohio on my podcast, and he did get something attached to him and had a very hard time. Like he was hearing voices in his head that weren't his. Something followed him home.
From so Post Town is what you're saying.
Yeah, from Post Town. And he emailed me after. So I had that in the back of my mind. But I think everything there is happy to stay there now. So he had sort of a one-off there.
Yeah. It is. It's just so wild, the idea too of like some of the random things. And I don't think this story is anywhere close to being finished yet, but you know, so we'll see what else may or may not happen in the meantime. You know, because I think when I go back for the holidays, I'll do some additional filming of maybe just some landscapes and maybe go out in Southern Ohio a little bit, but What?
That's a warning. That's Tommy's siren. I wouldn't do that.
No. You had this look on your face. I was like, oh, what's happening? What's happening?
Tommy's so funny. Sometimes he's not comforting at all. Because I told him about that. And I was like, I go, I think I'm not worried because everything's okay. And he goes, you know what, Karen? Everything's okay until it's not. And
I yeah. was like, okay, See, that does not help at all, Tommy. Thank you. We're talking about Tommy Durant, by the way. So who's been on
who's amazing.
Yeah, who's amazing. And I think people can find an interview I did with Tommy from a while ago. But
he always ends with I got your back. Don't worry about it. I'm always like, okay.
And it's just like part of me just has this idea too. It's like what strange secret schools did Tommy attend where he got all this? That he won't speak of. And it's like, so he really has that kind of mystery, which is always so great.
Well, you know what, too? After knowing him for 20 years, he started like sliding books my way. I would read this.
Okay.
But that's as far as I got. I got two books. And other than that, I have to ask.
Okay. Well, and if someone's like, well, what books are they? This is what I would suggest. I don't know these books, but I will tell you this. I think if you just try to find like some old arcane ancient mystery school type stuff, and then, you know, and if you read all of those, eventually you'll probably come across whatever these two books might be. You know, you just have to read all that old ancient stuff.
There may have been a book. There was a certain person that was writing books about angels and demons, and I had sent it to what I won't say, and I will send it, and I sent it to Tommy, and he said, well, the sigil on the cover is the wrong one, which is like, how does he know that? I don't know. So then I was like, oh, right. So when one, and then once I saw the most beautiful deck, they had this deck that was angels and demons, and he was like, now the sigils on that deck are correct. I would not have that in my house. So I always feel like even when I know, I don't know. But you know, it's all, you know, so many witches and people do things other ways. He just happens to be the guy I trust. He's the guy I trust.
Yeah. And it's always good to have somebody you trust. Well, Karen, this has been great. KarenRontowski.com. Paranormal Karen is the podcast. The Patreon is patreon.com/Rontowski. Rontowski. So the brand new Patreon. So go over there and, you know, support Karen's Patreon so she doesn't have to, you know, be connected to the spirit world 12 hours a day, every single day, giving readings and depleting her essence, much like a gelfling in a cage.
And thank you, Ryan. I cannot thank you enough for including me in that. It was amazing. It was really amazing.
Well, you were amazing in it. So thank you for being there. Couldn't have done it without you. I can't wait for people to see some of this footage about the boss and to show how great Courage is and the connection with Sonia. It's really amazing stuff. And until then, you know, we'll chat again soon, very, very soon, I'm sure. And I look forward to it.
Bye, spirits of Ghost Town. Thank you, Ryan.